All right, here we are in second session, and we're working on verses 25 through 27 here. And we're down in the analysis of this. With these verses, we leave Paul's analogy to the olive tree. We are talking about the relationship between Israel and the church, referred to under the rubric, this mystery, the hidden secret that only God kept to himself as to the nature of the replacement people for Israel. The only thing that was revealed was that a new people of God would take center stage in light of Israel's abysmal fall from grace. But in this regard, the Gentiles, this becomes their opportunity, not due to anything special about them. It has to do with Israel's failure and coinciding with a period of human history where there would be significant positive volition among the Gentile nations to merit church age. And that's what we've been having since 33 AD. The church age will continue, and once it's over, the age of Israel will commence again immediately. And there will be a generation of Jews, Israelites, who won't be like their ancestors. They will be extremely positive. And they who survive the trib will be taken into the millennium and start up that nation that will rise to the pinnacle of greatness under Jesus Christ, and that's the pleroma, or the fullness of Israel. The pleroma of the church is the very fact that you are a believer in the church age gives you a leg up with just the salvation adjustment, not that you get to be royal family and the other particulars that make this dispensation the elite dispensation. But anyway, from last time, Paul says, I don't want you to be, brethren, to be uninformed or ignorant of this mystery, so that you'll not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. It's not a permanent hardening. It's a partial hardening, dealing with the Jewish race, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles refers to the millennium. The millennium. And so there is a pleroma for Israel, a fullness, and a fullness for the Gentiles under the reign of Jesus Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. All right, moving down into our analysis here of this. I'll just pick up with here, point 18. The Gentile world will be incomparably enriched when Israel is restored to divine favor. And that can only be the millennium. 19, when Paul says all Israel will be saved, he is referring to the elect of Israel, not just Jews, who only possess a genetic connection to the founding patriarchs. That connection is largely worthless if you're not a believer. What do you get out of it? Unless you are a believing Jew, a believer who has embraced the rejected Messiah. This, of course, will ensue just after the rapture of the church. And of course, it doesn't happen immediately, but it's a process that will begin right after the rapture, when Israel and the Jews worldwide there will start turning to the truth and come up out of the situation that has prevailed for so long. This, of course, will ensue just after the rapture of the church and the onset of the day of the Lord. And, of course, that founding group of the Jews for the millennium will be the Jews that become believers in the Trib and survive in their natural bodies and go into the kingdom and start up the nation one more time for the millennial period, in which they will rise, they will achieve what was promised under the law. If you abide by me, I'll make you the head and not the tail. If you reject my plan, I'll make you the tail. I'm talking about among the nations. Well, we have scripture that says they will achieve this. As an example, the Jews who exit the United States to avoid the coming Holocaust, who are obedient to the relocation in the geographical will, and for them it's easy, go back to your homeland, to avoid the oncoming Holocaust, will be made up of believers in Christ, not just Jews like there are today that are leaving. Let's say there's crises in Ukraine, so the Jewish website is saying send money for these to help them. There's orphans and various things, blah, blah, blah. So Jeremiah 50 tells about, of course, you know that 50 and 51 is dealing with the United States under the code Babylon. You've got to break the code. Because otherwise, if you take this literally in the sense that it's referring to the Chaldeans, then you got all kinds of false information in the Bible. Nothing at all remotely happened to the Babylon of Daniel. We'll just use Daniel. The Babylon of Daniel. Nothing remotely even came close to happening to the Babylon that was replaced by the Persians. The Persians did conquer Babylon, but with minimal bloodshed and next to no destruction. This was atypical. This was not like the usual overthrow of cities and kingdoms. And the population of Babylon was left intact. They weren't dispossessed, told to leave. It was one of the weirdest things. They got up one morning and it was told that you're now being ruled by the Persians. The corrupt Babylonian leadership, they're dead. They're history. We're the Persians. We're ruling. Relax. Go about your business. There was a big Jewish quarter, obviously, in Babylon, because it was during the Persian period that they went. So none of this in 50 and 51 has to do with interpreters. It's almost pathetic what they try to do to get around this. I'm talking to evangelical types. I'm not talking about libs, theological liberals. I'm talking about conservatives. They don't even suggest this could be the U.S. They will not touch this with a 20-foot pole. They say, oh, it's the world. The world. The whole world? That makes zero sense, because it's going to be without inhabitant. Nobody's going to be able to enter it again. So that just kills that instantly. That's stupid. So what do you got left? Oh, ancient Iraq is going to come back into preeminence. Oh, yeah, right on. You know, the one Saddam Hussein was ruling over, and we blamed him for 9/11, which he had nothing to do with. Yeah, he was a dictator and could be ruthless, but he was running his own show over there and keeping those three groups in line. The Kurds, the Sunnis, and so forth. He was keeping them all in line. You want to keep your own little belief out here? Fine. He was a secular. He was a secular type religionist. He wasn't a strict, cut everybody's head off if they looked the wrong way. He wasn't in any of that. So he had nothing to do with 9/11. Not a damn thing. And we went in there. Well, that's another story. But that area is not going to come and be the... Because it doesn't fit the... For one thing, if you read through the passage, it doesn't fit the geography. The clues. Like you would investigate anything. It says that the Babylon here dwells in the midst of the seas. That doesn't fit. And the Tigris River Valley doesn't fit that. The only ocean is to the south where the river empties into the Indian Ocean. For a little geography. Who dwells in the midst of the seas? The U.S. Now there may be other nations that do, but they're not made up of immigrants. Their nation, as from the previous class, one of the things that makes the United States of America among the nations and the latter-day nations unique is that its population is from immigration. People have migrated from all these countries from our founding, the 13 colonies, British, and so forth and so on, all down the line. The native population, American Indian of the various tribes, that's the indigenous peoples that were here. But all these other people were brought here, migrated here. In the case of the people from Africa, they were shipped over as slaves. So all this is a result of immigration. What other nation is built on this? The only one I can think of is Israel, but that doesn't count. That's not talking about them. This is talking about a latter-day nation that was many centuries to come on the scene down the line from the prophet, this prophet, Jeremiah. Well, why didn't they call it U.S.? We would have never named it that. We would have never named it America or United States of America. Come on. So code is, in communication of information in certain realms, code is legit. Especially if you want to keep it hidden from negative volition. But you could start doing your research and you find out it is a big military power. You find out it is the monster economic power. And the geography fits, and the population fits. So, if you're doing investigative research, it's a no-brainer. The reason they don't want it is they'll lose church members, because a lot of these are flag wavers out there. They don't want to hear that. They do not want to hear the truth. Isn't this parallel to the Jews not wanting to accept those scriptures that make them look bad prophetically? They don't want to accept that. They want to face up full front and center and say, yep, we repudiated our Messiah. We rejected him. But God raised him from the dead. We were kicked out of our land for our sins. Everything is fulfilled. We're being returned to the land in the latter days, not because they have any wonderfulness in us. We got our act together in captivity. No. We're brought back and that's in your prophets. The ones you extol. The ones you say, and I'm talking about Israel 365 and those who actually take their Old Testament seriously. They do in certain respects, but when you leave out This, it all is distorted. But that's going to change. But I just want to show you here, Jeremiah 54. This is prophetic. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come forth, both they and the sons of Judah. That brings you to the two kingdoms and as well. And they will go along weeping as they go. And it will be the Lord their God they will seek. Now you can't, that's not some fake relationship to God. They will ask for the way to Zion, Jerusalem, turn their faces in his direction. They will come. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant. This is being mentioned here in Romans 11. I haven't got to it yet. That will not be forgotten. Background commentary. My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds led them astray. Look at the leaders that were running the religious show, the high priest and all those people at the first advent. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They're a major cause of Israel's failure. Every person is responsible for their own self spiritually. But these people, bad leadership. They have gone along from a mountain, that's a big kingdom, the big time nation, to hill, that's a little smaller entity. They've been dispersed. The migration of the Jews through the nations scattered them all over the place. And you look around and you pop up, they're Jews? Yeah. They're a little tribe down in Africa or they're in Asia within that general population, but they're Jewish. All over the place. Russian Jews, blah, 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 blah. All around. And they've forgotten their resting place. All who came upon them have devoured them. It's just like it said in the law of Moses. They will abuse you out there. And their adversaries have said, they justify anti-Semitism. We're not guilty. Now, who would say this, honestly? Who among their adversaries would say this? I pose that to you to challenge your thinking before I tell you what it I think it is. We're not guilty. Inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness. Who would speak that highly of the Lord, calling him the dwelling place of righteousness? Who? Not your typical anti-Semite running around out here like some, you know, that we hear about in the news. It's not, you know, those types. Even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Who would say that? Christians who have at least some knowledge. And this has led through in church history to Christians justifying their abuse of Jews because they went up against and rejected Christ. We have no mandate to treat them any different than anyone else. If a Jew commits a crime, he ought to go to jail. That's not anti-Semitism. And there are some corrupt, very corrupt Jews in our world today. In very high places. So, okay. The prophet spoke against their own people and corrupt individuals, obviously. That's not anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is, oh, we can abuse them and run over them because that's what they did to Jesus. The only one I can think of, there's other types of motivations for anti-Semitism, obviously. But this one is specified as those who said they abandoned the Lord. They abandoned their true God. Who would say that? Do you know anybody out there that's saying that, that's in the public arena? No, but it's happened. And they're the same ones who say God's written the Jews off permanently. Now, you may not run into any of that particular type of strain of Christianity, but it exists. Now, back to the scene as it is fast forwarded from Jeremiah. Wander from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. I told you. Who were the founding? What was the racial makeup of the Babylonians that came from the east and settled in the Tigris River Valley? Chaldeans. That's their breakdown. Babylon is just a name for their kingdom or their city. So who would that represent? Down in prophetic fulfillment. Anglo-Saxons. American history. 13 colonies. Where do you think they came from? India? No. People from India have migrated here. It was Anglo-Saxons. You know, the Anglo, and there was a third lesser group. Anglos, Saxons, and Jutes. Off of the British Isles. Because they had a big worldwide seafaring, conquering, economic outposts everywhere. British Empire. Yeah. So see, we broke the code. We have broke the code. Then it also says, be also like, I guess you have to know something about these kind of animals. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. A goat has a different disposition than a sheep, but they do get along and they do interact and relate. So who is he appealing to here? That certain Jews will take the bull by the horn and start helping the regular Jews, so to speak, to get them out of here. That whole scene awaits the future. I don't know what they'll do. It's going to be unusual. There's going to be a breakdown in this country. They're not going to be able to stop this exodus out of here. Our leaders aren't. They're not going to be, oh, step up and do you have your vaccine passport and blah, blah, blah and all that. No, it's all going to break down. Think about it. People are going to come out of here right and left. It's almost like there's going to be a paralysis at the leadership level of stopping it. When God wants something to happen, there's a movement of the people. I'm thinking of a Bob Marley song or something. There, movement of the people. Okay, it isn't funny to you. Too bad. There's a movement of the people. And what were the chances of the Jews just walking scot-free out of Egypt? But we can break this toy down. We can put the screws down. And we can put them down big time. And they'll let them go. They'll be begging them to leave. Just go. Take all my wealth. Just leave. 10 plagues took that to task. Even broke the will of the Pharaoh. So God controls things in history, people. And I have to tell myself every day when I read the miserable news and the miserable junk that's going on. I could spend hours up here, but it isn't, to beyond a point, it isn't edifying. I want you to realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He is the Lord of the nations. Now, it might cause you to have a problem from time to time. Why are you letting this happen? That's called permissive will, and it isn't pleasant. You have to acclimate to it. I have to acclimate to it with the congregation over the years. I can't. Contrary to your popular, some of the maligning, I'm not a cult leader. I have no control over you. Why didn't you call everybody, Jack, that left? Are you serious? Do you want me to call your wife? Please. All this is so stupid, I can't believe it. It's like they lost their minds. I'd be glad to talk to you. But I taught all these other people doctrines, so when they run across your path, they can encourage you to get your act together. You know some of them, you're still in contact with them. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you to see, that's the difference. I just pray that if God wants you to say something, but some of them are so far gone, you probably realize it ain't going to work. It isn't just some prodigal out here, you know, sowing wild oats and running amok and doing drugs and prostitutes and going off on her, and then realizes one day when he's broke and, you know, sitting on a median somewhere, that maybe I ought to get my act together and get back with Bible doctrine and lick my wounds. Those kind are retrievable. But those who rise up and badmouth it and ridicule it and say no, 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 and turn against their pastor teacher right in front of my face, who were dear friends, went on vacation, and I didn't do anything different. Okay, we'll set the flat earth over here for a minute. Some of them even were flat earthers too. So they can't use that one. They can't use it anyway, but, you know, sake of discussion. Then I went off the rails. I lost my mind. And I'm not following a pastor that's lost his mind. Have I lost my mind? Do I make sense? So it puts you at odds with a big segment of the cosmos? So what? The cosmos is passing away. And this mess is about to hit the wall. That's why I think it's going to be worth every minute of it. I don't want to see people suffer, but if people are going to be negative, then fine. They're chaff in the wind. So, be like male goats. And then this goes on. I'll read another verse, because we're here. For behold, I, who would that be? Yahweh. Jesus Christ for us. I am going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north, and they'll draw up their battle lines against her. From there, she will be taken captive. Unheard of in conventional warfare of the time in which the Bible was written. Yeah, you could get outside a city and shoot fiery arrows all day. And they did. Like that opening scene of Gladiator. That was worth the whole damn movie right there for me. That was a hoot. I know, it's Roman warfare, fighting the long-haired barbarians up north and all. And that was worth the whole thing. The movie overall was entertaining. Yes, it was historical fiction. I know that. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea will become a plunder. This is unconventional plunder. Like the unconventional plunder that the Jews extracted over the Egyptians when they left. They plundered them. Plunder usually involves force and subjugation of someone who isn't in favor of it. But this is a different type of plunder. Plunder from a distance. In which the enemy who does the destruction doesn't get any of the benefits. They don't come in and get into our gold vaults and drag all our goodies out, of which there is so much in this country, it's mind-boggling. The stuff that's hoarded up on an individual level and up the ladder. Okay? Verse 19. How far am I into this class? And I'll bring Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found, for I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. The remnant are those Jews who survived the trib and are positive and are ready to hit the ground and serve Christ in the millennium and have children and be blessed with a population explosion and prosperity coming out their ears, and they will for the first time have access to the greater Eretz Israel of the covenant that they never did occupy, even during Solomon's reign. Thank you, Father, for the time that we have together once again. We consider it very precious. Be with us, watch over us, help those that are sick, those that are suffering various things that are under positive volition, and help us to be there for one another in every way that we can. In Christ's name, amen.